Sadly, the 2024 Daytona 500 has come and gone. Billy, there are storylines all up and down through the field. I watched lap one through the, I guess it would be 200 laps that we did. We didn't do any extra laps. And so lap one to 200 was thoroughly entertained. A lot of things I saw in there that I really liked, a lot of things in there. I'm not sure that I think I could do without, but I have to tell you, Billy, from a fan's perspective, and we both talked about how we become better fans, you know, now that Dale Jr.'s not behind the wheel. But from a fan's perspective, I don't know how you couldn't be entertained by that race, Billy Bradley. I thought William Byron did exactly what he needed to do there to win, but man, I think Billy. I think it was a home run from an excitement standpoint, but if you had to rate this one, Billy Bradley, good, bad, indifferent, I mean, what would you say about it? What were your thoughts about the race?
I would agree with you as far as the race being good. We had several races, lead changes, several times that they got in the pack going, and lots of good times with the racing, but one thing I didn't like was the, about every 35 to 40 laps in each segment, we got up and just rode around. And I know Daytona's always been, they used to be single file, they would stretch out. But now they're at least doing it two wide. But we have to do something on this fuel saving issue.
Billy, it's funny you mention that because my only, I'm the kind of fool that that likes the tandem drafting at Talladega. I thought that shit was amazing.
I would rather see that.
Yeah, me too. I think, when you have one spotter, two drivers, tandem drafting, I thought that. But driving around out there at – I looked in the pack there, and 20th place, they were doing like 45% throttle.
At no point, there was one time that there was a car that was not in a draft, was 20 mile an hour faster than the cars in the draft. That should never happen.
And when I saw that happening, I was like, what in the world is going on? And then at the front, I can't remember who they showed at the front, but even at the front, they weren't at 100% throttle. And I'm like, well, come on now. This is just a parade. And I thought it was entertaining, but at some point,
yes,
this race is going to become a whole hell of a lot less entertaining. We still got, guys like Brad Keselowski that'll push the issue on lap four, for Christ's sakes, or whatever. I mean, we still got that stuff that's going to happen, but they're going to have to figure something out at some point, Billy. And I don't know whether it's, it'd be very easy for them to just make it so that a tank of gas finishes a stage and that sort of thing. So you're not worried about, they could do a lot of things with stages and all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't mind if they, if they even went to, they could do four stages for all. I think it would be kind of, I don't know. This is
plenty. Yeah, I don't care. I don't even care if we do two stages, three stages, four stages, but if a car is caught up in a crash, they have to come back out, and there is a minimum speed they have to obtain in order to stay on the track. And I think they ought to be something like that under green flag. If you're not running 90% or more, you get off the track. I mean, put it in, Ray Evernham said it best on the Dale Jr. Download, is people go see the athletes work. I mean, they don't go to watch the car ride around, so go to work.
Billy, imagine what would happen if Tyreek Hill just ran at 80%. First of all, he'd still probably be faster than most of the people, but we always see in a high school game or even an NFL game, a wide receiver, the play will go to the other side and the wide receiver just stand there. Well, people hate that shit. If you're out there, compete, do something. I think you do have a valid point, Billy. I don't know what the solution is. I do know that there's a lot of people unhappy about the riding around in the pack. And you know, onesies, twosies, I mean, that can be, you know, back at Talladega several years ago, I remember Elliot Sadler was like, hey, we ain't getting in this shit. We're going to ride around and get some, log some laps. And they did as a protest to NASCAR. And it worked because that race sucked for, you know, till the end. That race was not a great race. It was pretty boring. But I think if you're a brand new fan and you don't know any better, I think you enjoyed the race. And,
right.
And I think, you know, with the NASCAR Netflix thing coming out and showcasing these guys, Christopher Bell's running up front, and William Byron won the damn race, Denny Hamlin's up there making a case, you know, Reddick is up there, you know, making his case. I think Joey Logano, for Pete's sake, if you watch that Netflix series and then you tuned in to watch this race, I think it did pretty well from that standpoint. I don't know any brand new race fans, anybody who watched the Netflix series and got into it, but I would like to think that it did pretty good. And let me tell you, probably the most surprising thing to me, Billy Bradley, there's several different surprising things. The number one surprising thing to me is Chevy, for the first time that I can remember, had a good pit strategy, Billy. Their pit strategy, probably as an organization, as a manufacturer, probably won them the Daytona 500. I mean, I've never seen them do anything like that. That was damn smart. And Toyota didn't seem like they could do anything right. And Chevy comes out here and does a great job. We've been begging for this for years, Billy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was getting ready to say. You know, not last year because we didn't do it much last, but the year before we were – giving Chevrolet all the hell about, you know, here Ford has and Toyota has this idea that they're working together as manufacturers, and Chevrolet finally did it, and you see what it got themselves.
At the end of the race, you had Chevy's covered at the front, buddy. It was, Bowman, another 600 feet, Bowman wins that race, Billy. I mean, Larson's up there. I mean, I thought it was good for the Chevy, and they finally did it. I don't know what took them so long, but
I don't even have a problem with the way the race ended under caution. Like, I don't have a problem with that. That's going to happen. And I don't want the green-white checker, because that's going to keep happening there at Daytona, because that's just enough to get them going. And, you know, I'm fine with that. I honestly am. I just don't like the riding around and saving fuel.
No, and Billy, I think the ending of the race was the way it's supposed to happen. I mean, the checker flag, the white flag came. There was a caution. That's what's supposed to happen. I mean, it's by the rule. That's what's supposed to happen. And if we'd have done, you know, green white checker three damn times, we'd have had three more wrecks, and that thing, we'd have a hell of a lot more cars tore up. And that racing after, hell, they're not even up to speed by the time they're going to wreck. So, you know, I don't know that it's worth it to do all that. I think we got a hell of an entertaining finish to that race. And even though it finished under caution, I think it was the right move. The other thing that really befuddled me about this whole thing, and I think, Billy, this is a good sign for our buddy Jimmy Wags and maybe the 2023 team, but they screwed up. They had been putting Bubba out there great, okay, doing really good. Then they screw up, get him out there at the end. He has to come in and pit. Buddy, if it wasn't for that mistake, they probably would have been knocked around and probably wouldn't have been running at the end. And it turns out to be Bubba Wallace. In the past, I think Bubba Wallace would have been pissed off. I don't think he would have been, you know, the right driver, you know, behind that wheel. Something like that happens, you know, with – you know, right there when you're getting ready to go out for the last final laps of the Daytona 500. But to that team's credit, they got their shit together. They were in the back. They worked their way up. They missed a big one, and they had a hell of a good finish, Billy. Now, this may be a good sign for that 23 bunch, who, in my opinion, has underperformed just a little bit here over the last little bit. This might be what takes them over the hump. What do you think?
I would agree, and I also heard Bubba on Door Bumper Clear this week said, you know, he was out this year to prove. He had told Freddie, I'm here to prove you wrong, and looked at Brett and said, I'm here to prove you wrong, and I'm here to prove you wrong. And that's the mindset Bubba needs. So, in that case, it could be scary for the competition because, I mean, we saw what Bubba did last year. What did he make it to the final eight, I believe?
Yep.
I'm pretty sure it was final eight. So, Jimmy Wags is going to be sitting in a good seat this year with being a fan of Bubba Wallace, I do believe.
Yeah, I was impressed with how that team came about. I mean, how they finished up there. I was also impressed with Kyle Busch. I mean, they didn't get the damn wheel nut on, Billy, and he drove all the way around that 2.5 mile damn track
and didn't lose
without losing his wheel. And I mean, that man, what a feat! He was bad fast. A lot of good cars in there. Believe it or not, and I would have lost a bet if I would have said this was going to way it was going to turn out. I won the damn thing, the pick'em race with Corey fucking LaJoy, Billy Bradley. All the good, all of our drivers got knocked out, and Corey LaJoy was sitting there at the end. But I have to be honest with you, I really like what I see out of that whole bunch. They had what a fourth or a fifth and a 13th. And if it wasn't for, you know, the getting wrecked out, you know, with a bunch of stupid shit happening there in the beginning.
And Corey making –
course, buddy.
Corey picking the wrong line there at last thing, restart too. I mean, I think that race was on Corey. I think he made a mistake on that one. He just got in the wrong line because he'd gotten up there. Corey LaJoy may be the winner of the race.
I agree, and this is all to say, you know, we talked about Spire Motorsports and the Daytona 500 preview. We talked about, you know, Doug Dukart going over there. Here's another little tidbit for you, Billy Bradley. Our good buddy Rob Lopes is the tire guy over there for Spire Motorsports. He doesn't travel anymore. After 29 damn years on the road, brother, 29 years on the road, son. I mean, damn, that's a long time. He's not on the road, but he is their tire guy over top of all three teams. He's the mastermind behind it all. And so
Nobody's better.
We know Doug Dukart's in there, Spire Motorsport, Rob Lopes on there. I'm looking forward to see what we can get out of. And by the way, Justin Haley, such a damn good talent, man. That kid knows how to wheel a damn race car, buddy.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I didn't know that about Rob coming off the road, and that's good right there. I mean, if anybody deserves it, Rob Lopes deserves it. He's put his time in for sure. And no better of a person to – they pick up for the tires. I mean, boy knows it all.
I couldn't agree more. I talked to him on during the race, actually. We texted back and forth for a little bit, and I had to ask him. By the way, I asked him if he'd come on and chat with us. He said he sure would. Give him plenty of notice, and he'll get it cleared and all that kind of stuff. He'll come on. But I said, dude, it's got to be weird. He's been to the last 29 Daytona 500s in person, brother. And all of a sudden he's watching it from his couch. It was a very, very odd day for Robbie Lopes, but I'm glad.
I didn't even know that because I actually Sunday afternoon, I showed a big picture of what we were smoking, and I tagged Rob Lopes in it in Facebook and said, sorry, you're spending another day in Daytona. I mean, he could have got me good right there.
Yeah, he could have sent you a picture, a selfie from the damn couch, and he'd have had you. But, you know, we're also looking for, I mentioned old Buescher. Buescher had a good race up until he didn't have a good race, Billy. But Brad Keselowski, he is always around shit when it comes to plate tracks. And he's a good plate racer. And I don't know if that, you know, I don't know. He was involved in
Everett.
The first one, I'm not sure was, I mean, there was getting pushed from behind. Okay. But at some point it becomes Brad K. Keselowski, you got to stay the hell away from Brad Keselowski. I mean, I know that, you know, things are happening at, you know, 190 miles an hour and all this kind of stuff. I'm very cognizant of that, okay? But Brad Keselowski has quickly found himself on the outside looking in here. Coming when we go to Talladega, Billy, I think people are going to be looking at Brad like, hey, slow the fuck down when you get – calm down, dude.
Get away from me.
You know, he's been in the middle of – it just seems like every damn wreck that happens at a plate track, Brad Keselowski's rearing his ugly head, and really, he has an ugly head, rearing his ugly damn head about this thing. And I like Brad Keselowski. I think he's got a good chance to win in Atlanta. I think he's got a good chance to stack up some victories. And, I mean, he's a past champion. He's certainly, in my opinion, he's a Hall of Fame driver moving forward, especially, you know, what he's doing over there at the new team over there. But man, he needs to start watching what the hell he needs to go out there to Talladega and probably just take it easy until the end of the race when it's okay. But we can't be having wrecks, you know, in the first 10 laps of the damn race. That's just not going to do it. It's something else that was kind of goofy, Billy, is like how these Toyota, I still don't understand why Toyota didn't have their shit together, and how they were all pitting at different times and sequences and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know, but I'm glad to see Chevy got it. Ford was they were doing it right the whole night too. It just looked like that. By the way, with the new Mustang body, I don't think it handles as good as I don't think it's as fast as the old Mustang body. But Billy, did you get that feeling?
No, I didn't see really out of them and Toyota. Like, I mean, I really didn't see it. Now, going to Atlanta this weekend, same type, and I think I'm probably going to pick a Toyota this week, or I don't know. It's hard to tell. But I didn't see what I wanted to see with them having new body styles this year.
Yeah. Well, normally, I mean, back in the day, my God, everybody in the garage would be pissed when they would allow Ford to do something different to their body style, right? I mean, they'd be like, God damn it, you know, Ford's would have the advantage. And then Chevy come up and bitch about something, and then they'd let Chevy do something, and Chevy'd have the advantage and that sort of thing. But I think they got some monkeying around to do with their frames for sure. By the way, I'm not sure I entirely like how the Dale Jr. Download is done this year. I mean, I don't necessarily mind the rewind or whatever the hell they call it, the reloaded or something.
Reloaded.
Reload. Yeah, I don't necessarily mind it, but I'm okay with Mike Davis being gone, and I'm not saying that because I'm happy about it. I've accepted it. I really liked the banner that Mike Davis and Junior, you know, had going in there.
That's what I miss. I'm getting to like it, but that's what I miss, because you could tell that over the years that what a friendship that Mike and Dale had gotten. I mean, I think that's what's missing over the whole situation is they don't have that friendship in there. It's kind of like it's not really. It's kind of like it's holding Dale back some. Like he would open up for Mike more.
Yeah, I think, you know, Dale seems comfortable, but he does seem like, I mean, it's different. And I think it's different because Dale knows Mike ain't going to let him get away with some of the shit he says, right? And so he doesn't try to get away with it. You know, he gets challenged a little bit by Mike. And these guys, I mean.
And Mike's not afraid to. Mike's not afraid to call Dale Jr. to go against Dale Jr. Seems like everybody else is going to agree with him. Like, Mike's not the one that is just going to say, yeah, you're right, just because you're Dale Jr. Mike doesn't do that.
Well, here's two people I can promise you that ain't afraid – two other people I promise you ain't afraid to go against Dale Jr., and that's me and you, because when we met him up there at that day, I wasn't sure he was going to take our picture or tell us to get the fuck out. thank God he didn't listen to a whole lot of clips of that early.
Talking
early
about how he sucked on restarts and he was, what, 50 foot from the signing autographs.
Yeah, that probably wasn't the best time to bring that up. But, I mean, in true in true off the rails fashion, that's when it that's when it happened. So, when I was listening to the podcast today, he mentioned is Reloaded. He mentioned, you know, he didn't like cautions, and that somebody pushing a button would somebody pushing the button is the one that determines the outcome, right? And then he mentioned about Talladega with good old Kevin fucking Harvick. Did you catch that by chance?
I haven't listened to that one yet.
All right. Well, that's the Reloaded. He talks about two cautions that he, to this day, doesn't like. The first one he mentioned was that one at Talladega.
Jeff Gordon.
No, well, that's the other one. The first one was when Dale Jr. was going to win that fucking race, and Kevin Harvick needed a caution, so he wrecked about 100 feet past the start-finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey Logano had the motherfucking had just got in front of Dale Jr. because he hadn't get stuck to speed yet, and he lost that race. Remember, he was getting ready to go into the
– Yeah, I know where you're talking about now.
Yeah, he was getting ready to go. He going to advance to the next round and all this shit.
Yeah.
I'm still fucking livid about that.
He got up to speed.
Yeah, exactly. And then he mentioned one, Jeff Gordon, where they threw the cans at him. So it was just funny to me that old Dale Jr. remembered that. He did. Dale Jr. made it sound like he didn't even give a shit if he was going to advance or not. He just was pissed he didn't get the victory. And I actually believe that coming from Dale Jr. Or coming from a race driver. You know, racers don't give a shit. They just want that number one. They want that trophy. That's what they race for. They want the trophy. And not to get it because of the caution really sucks. That was interesting. I haven't listened to the Ray Evernham one. Have you?
Yeah, I just finished it today.
Anything I need to perk my ears up to when I listen to it?
No, it was good. There were several talks about, you know, the prices of the charter, and, you know, the Junior said that he could have bought one several years ago for $2 million, and right now they're going for $40 million. And like, I agree with them. Like, they think, you know, if you paid $40 million for them, like, I would want them things to be worth something. So I totally see where these owners are coming from right now.
One thing I did, maybe I did listen to a few minutes of it. I now that I think about it, Dale Jr. said, you know, NASCAR wants to talk with the individual owners. And that's because they're going to find the weak ones, and they're going to get them to get on their side. And then they're going to strong arm them and settle, which is bullshit. Billy Dale Jr. also mentioned that, you know, maybe the teams wouldn't show up to Daytona next year. And I don't think Hendrick Motorsports has the balls.
No,
or the money.
They're showing up.
They're showing up. But here's what I can tell you, okay? I would bet you that the owners would get together and they'd do blackouts on maybe TV, and maybe get fined for not doing interviews or not doing anything at the tracks, you know, and ruining a fan experience, you know, somewhere. I could see them doing that to get NASCAR's attention, because then NASCAR would say, well, these guys, hey, it ain't us. We're trying to do this. And then it would be put out in the public, and then it would look bad for NASCAR. But I really do believe the only way the owners are going to get something that they want is they're going to have to be bigger, badder, nastier, and uglier than what NASCAR will do. The owners are the ones that put on the show. And they may, you know, back when, you know, they can replace a driver, okay? But they damn sure can't replace a fucking car. Like, if Hendrick Motorsports don't show up, they ain't got four Hendrick Motorsports quality cars that are going to show up and fill their place.
Nope, not at all. And they're not going to get the names in there either, like the Chase Elliotts, Alex Bowmans, the William Byrons, the Ryan Blaneys.
What I think needs to happen is that everybody needs to get together and go, hey, look, this is wildly fucking expensive. We need to make this right. Now, the France family and all that, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the France family, but then again, I'm not a big fan of fucking Rick Hendrick either. So, and everybody hates it when I say that because they're like, well, the only reason I'm a Hendrick fan is because Dale Jr. went over there, for Christ's sake. Mm-hmm. The fact is, those guys better get that shit straightened out, or this won't end well.
All this is telling me is that NASCAR is making a shit ton of money. The drivers and teams, I think they should get some of it. I mean, without a doubt, I think they should get some of it. But what this is telling me that NASCAR is making a shit ton of money, and they just don't – they want to get stingy with it, be greedy, take it off.
Yeah, and I'm not privy to all the deals that go on between NASCAR and the teams and all that. I know NASCAR has them over a barrel when it comes to sign placement and all that kind of stuff. But in my humble opinion, okay, I mean, you remember what – 5-6 years ago, NASCAR was pilfering fucking sponsors from the teams, right? And then they're like, oh, no, we're helping the teams get, you know, stuff, and that really wasn't the case. It's hard to come up with another NFL. That's too fucking big. It's hard to come up with another baseball league. That's too big. It's hard to come up with another professional – I mean, WNBA sucks. I mean, nobody's watching it. Sucks from – the competition actually isn't terrible, but nobody's watching it. I mean, it's not exciting. And same with hockey. But racing? Oh, shit. Everybody needs that TV money. Everybody needs that TV money. But I bet you there's – between Penske and Haas and Hendrick, if they really wanted to say fuck you to NASCAR, Billy – I think they could if they really wanted to. And I don't know how long it would take them to do it, but I think they have enough money that they could figure this out personally. And I think enough fans hate NASCAR sanctioning body enough that I think they would get support too. All they need to do is get a couple big names to come over there, get Hendrick, Penske, Gibbs over there. Take those three organizations away, Haas. Take those four organizations away from NASCAR, and what do you got?
Nobody.
You got a lower tier league, I think, and those are probably the ones that are holding out. Would be my guess. It'll be interesting to see how it falls, but billionaires fighting with 100 millionaires is never a dull story, son.
No, sir.
They'll figure out a way to shit the bed one way or the other. Billy Brown, let's talk about Atlanta. Fast mile and a half. We're racing it early this year.
Real early.
And last year I think it was race five or six maybe. Race five or six. I haven't even looked at the weather. If that track is cold.
It's supposed to be pretty nice, I think, from some of the recent podcasts I've listened to.
Okay. Obviously, Kevin Harvick was always a favorite to come down here. He liked riding that yellow line. He put his tire right on the paint there. He gets some extra grip, which is pretty damn cool to figure out. But Joey Logano, I believe, won this race last year. Of course, Chase Elliott's a fan favorite to go down there and win. Brad Keselowski does good. I think Brad Keselowski's got 10 top 10s or something down there in his career. So he's good there. Ryan Blaney shows up there. I think I like Atlanta Motor Speedway race. And with this new car, I think we're going to see some pretty good racing. But there's a lot of guys at the back of the field from this Daytona 500 shit, Billy Bradley, need to have a good showing.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I think. You know, just like you said, Joey Logano, I think, is going to put on a good show. Then you got Brad Keselowski. Like, Lord, he's way back there with the hole he dug himself in at Daytona.
Yeah. Yeah, these guys are. There's going to be some racing, and I'm actually looking forward to. So, Billy, quick side note here. My daughter is getting married Saturday. Come Sunday, I hope to have a hangover that it's a damn big. You feel it down there in Virginia. And I hope my ass just sits on the couch and watches damn racing all day. That's really what I'm hoping for. We got so much shit going on here between now and Sunday morning. I'm not sure how I'm going to be. How old's your daughter, Billy Bradley?
16.
16. Man, you're right in the thick of things right here because she's going to be gone in 2 years. Have you thought about that, Billy Bradley?
No, sir, I haven't. We're just now, as I told you there, I think a couple of weeks ago when we talked about getting the podcast back up was, we're just now doing the college thing, man, and, like, it hit me. I was driving up the interstate by myself one morning going to work, and I was like, holy shit, man, this is, like, it hit me hard. Like, the eyes started watering. I was like, man, this is really going to end. I mean, you know, for the last 5 years, from April to November, I mean, she and I have been side by side on a softball field somewhere, and there's only two this year and next year. That's all I got.
Yeah. Yeah, Billy Bradley, let me tell you something. Enjoy these next 2 years because I have a ticket, Billy Bradley. I have a ticket to a daddy-daughter dance on February 11th, 2012, I was dancing with my daughter. All her friends were there. Is that the school? The school had a daddy daughter dance, and we went there. We dressed up and dancing. She was having so much fun. I saw her on the dance floor. She was with her friends, and it hit me right there, Billy Bradley. It hit me in 2012. She's 23 now. In 2012, I was like, damn, the next time I have this much fun at a dance with my daughter is going to be her wedding day. So I saved that ticket. I saved that ticket.
Oh, my God.
And when I got home, I don't want to cry here yet, Billy. I got to save all that shit for Saturday. But when I got home, I rode on the back of it. I had the time of my life, Hallie. This means so much to me, and I love you. You'll always be my little girl. I love you. And I signed it. And so she doesn't know I have that. So I'm going to give it to her Saturday when we do our –
oh, my gosh, dude. That's awesome. Like,
yeah. So I'm going to be a damn mess come Saturday is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not going to be worth a shit Sunday, so I might as well sit on the couch and watch a damn race. And I got a tuxedo issue here, Billy. My tuxedo. I think what they did is now my son is going to officiate my daughter's wedding, which is kind of cool. He's got his license, so he's gonna marry my future son-in-law and my daughter. I think they got my tux and his tux switched. And for people who don't know, my son's 6'5". I am not. I'm on a good day, I'm 6 foot, Billy. And that's what the tape measure is, having a good day, and I got a good night's sleep. So I had to call and try to get a suit jacket and a vest. Tonight's Thursday when we're recording this. And they're like, I called a warehouse.
2 days.
If you give me a style number, I'll have it for you Friday afternoon. I'm like, oh, good God, so there's a little bit of stress going on here, Billy. So come Sunday, I ain't doing shit, son. I'm going to lay on the couch and nurse a hangover and watch a NASCAR race. So I'm actually looking forward to the Atlanta race for the first time in a few years. But, Billy, it looks like I won with Corey LaJoy last
you
week.
Did.
So you get the first pick here with Atlanta. Who's your favorite? Who's your dark horse?
Okay. I think I'm going to pick Toyotas. I'm going to go Tyler Reddick.
Damn it.
And I'm going to have to go Corey LaJoy.
Son of a bitch. Those are literally my two fucking picks. That, I think Corey LaJoie finished seventh or something last year, if I'm not mistaken. Damn it. Did you know that, Billy?
I didn't. I know he runs good in Atlanta, but I didn't. Honestly, we hadn't talked about picks. So I didn't know that was who you were leaning towards.
Well, yeah, because I know Corey LaJoie's good there. Son of a bitch, and I was going to take Tyler Reddick. That's fucking crazy. So I guess I'll take Joey Logano. He's the past winner there. I can't go too wrong there. And what's the deal on who can we pick for dark horses now? Has it got to be a true dark horse?
I think just as long as they've not been a winner, you know, recent winner.
Well, how about this? Is Ty Gibbs a dark horse?
Oh, absolutely.
Give me Ty Gibbs. I'll take Ty Gibbs. That'll be my. I got a Ford, a Toyota. Excuse me. You've got the a Toyota and a
Chevrolet.
Chevy. And I like your picks, Billy Bradley. Those are really good picks. Damn, son. I guess this time next week. I won't have any kids in the house for the first time in 29 years, Billy Bradley. I won't have any kids in the house. And you'll probably be on another softball field somewhere trying to get a rain game in.
Yeah. Man, I'm going to be thinking about you Saturday for sure.
Well, I need you to send positive thoughts, Billy.
I don't even want to think about that.
Oof. It's going to be a tough one for sure. That's why Sunday, next week, I have a full report with you, son, on everything that happened at Atlanta, because I'm not doing shit Sunday. For Billy Bradley, this is Dado. Let's get off the rails, y'all. What do you say?
Let's go.
Damn, girl. Can you just, like, chill for a second and stop being bougie all the dang time? Let's have some fun, all right? Let's go. Bottoms up. Soda. Drinks on me. Later on, after party my crib, but this girl on my right shit. Why you gotta be so bougie, so bougie, bougie? Why you gotta be so bougie, so bougie, bougie? Yeah, 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 yeah.
You gotta chill, need to relax. Not everywhere needs a VIP pass. Keep it up, you'll have no real friends left. Designer clothes aren't gonna earn you respect. Just stop, you're being too loud. Your trash talk won't make your mama proud. Snap, snap, show your picture perfect fake laugh. Back up, you ain't even in the limelight.
Bottoms up,
slow down, slow down.
Drinks on me,
oh wow, oh wow.
Later on, after party my crib, but this girl on my right shit.
Why you gotta be so bougie, so bougie, bougie? Why you gotta be so bougie, so bougie, bougie? Yeah, 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 yeah.
Girl, you gotta chill, why you so damn thirsty? Oh, he got a rollie, now you so damn basic. Man, I ain't saying you but what you doing at SLS when you stay at Azusa? It's okay, not my bitch, so I'm gonna walk away. Got better shit to do than to entertain you. Said she want the Fendi swimsuit with the Fendi shoes. Then she looked at me, I said, you picked the wrong dude.
I'm out.
Bottoms up.
Slow down, slow down.
Drinks on me.
Oh, wow, oh, wow.
Later on, after party my crib. But this girl on my right shit.
Why you gotta be so bougie, so bougie, bougie? Why you gotta be so bougie?